to God, hallelujah, yes, glory, 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 we overcame, you overcame. That's a beautiful song, I Overcame by Ada Ehi. Beautiful, beautiful song, and it just helps, all right, with what we're dealing with this season. Jesus Christ has done it for us, and we put our faith in the things that he has already done for us. Glory to God. Jesus has won the battle. Jesus has given us, you know, brought us victory. And then we say, hey, the victory is mine. The victory is mine. The Bible says, my children are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So you and I have got to know what belongs to us. We've got to put our foot down, you know, and say, hey, this is what belongs to me. I refuse, all right, to get myself cheated out of my blessings. I refuse to get myself cheated out of the rights and privileges, out of the things that belong to me. So welcome to your morning energizer. Welcome to the morning faith boost. It's always great to be here, knowing that you are there listening, being refreshed, being energized, being blessed. So glory, glory, glory to Jesus Christ. Yesterday we ended talking about health, all right, how that Jesus was on that cross. You know, 1 Peter 2:24 says he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, to live unto righteousness, by whose stripes were healed. So hey, he bore our sins, all right, he took away our sins and gave us his righteousness. Please listen again. Yesterday's teaching will help, but Bible lets us know that he bore our sin, he bore our sickness, he bore our sin, he bore our sickness, he bore our sin. So he took away our sin, all right, but he didn't just take away sin and then the consequence of the sin. He took away sin and the power of that sin. Someone says, so if he did that, why do we still sin? Same way, if he took away sickness, why do we still fall sick? Do you get that? Because people get to ask, hey, why do we fall sick? You know, so it's the same question that applies. You know, some understand it from the angle of health and healing. Oh, he took away sickness, you know, and all of that, but we've got to put our foot down against it. So that's clear. All right, for a number of people, you have to resist it. You know, but some now get asked, but if the power of sin, you know, has been broken, then why do we get tempted? Yes, it has been broken the same way, right, the power. Every believer doesn't have a business falling sick. Humanity doesn't have a business falling sick generally, right? But they can't even access these rights, all right, on their own if they don't have Christ Jesus. Now they could go through it or through with it, medically, you know, herbally, diabolically, you know, but as in accessing it, you know, as a finished work of Christ, it usually, all right, haven't met Christ. They can. Now, it can be ministered to them by someone who has Christ Jesus. I mean, you don't have to say someone must be born again before you pray the prayer of faith for their healing and all of that. No, you just lay hands on the sick. Lay hands on the sick. It's you going to all the world and lay hands on the sick. So, that's it, you know. But the same way the power of sin has been broken, are you getting that now? But we've got to resist it. But this is even the big one, all right? The same way Jesus actually has died for everybody, but everybody is still not saved. Why? They've not come to acknowledge, all right, what he's done and then confess him as their Lord. They need to do that. But for the believer that has done that, you've got to now realize that in doing this, these are the things, all right, that are now available unto me. And that's why we're learning this, so that we put our foot down and say, no way, no way. So I hope you read Romans, all right, chapter 6, 1 to 14. We stopped at about verse 8 yesterday, and I encouraged you, please read down to the 14th or the 15th verse. So please, I'm asking again, do that, all right? Just read on your own and see, oh, the power of sin has been broken. The power of sin, it's a solid portion of the Bible to deal with habits, all right? You're just almost getting yourself neck deep into sin. It looks like you can't do without it. It looks like anytime the temptation pops up, all right, you just get strong on it and, you know, hung up on it and everything, go to Romans chapter 6. Go to Romans chapter 6. And then read through. And then read through. And then read through. Read like 3 times. Then take a break. Then maybe sometime in the afternoon, in the evening, get back again. Read again. And then maybe some, just keep, and then break it. All right? Because faith comes by hearing. And if it's sickness, you're dealing with same thing. Matthew 8:17. Himself took my infirmities, carried away my sicknesses. Or the end of 1 Thessalonians 2:24. By whose stripes you were, past tense. Were, past tense. Were, past tense. Were, past tense. By whose stripes you were healed. So you and I have been healed. You put your foot down. You put your foot down. You put your foot down. All right, there are very many other places in the Bible that could help you deal both with sin and sinful habits, and also, you know, with sickness and disease. Hebrews 12:1, for instance, says, being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, all right? Let us, you know, lay aside the weight that, you know, and the sin that so easily besets us. Well, and then it's wrong with patience. The race I said before. So you tell yourself, I lay this aside. In the name of Jesus, I lay this aside. I lay you aside. I run with patience the race in front of me. You're telling that to yourself. You're declaring that to you and to whatever that habit is. You will not trip me. You will not make me fall again and again. I refuse. From Hebrews 12:1. All right? Lay aside the weight and the sin that easily besets you. Lay it aside. Some things are not sinful, but they're just weights. They just weigh you. Sometimes wrong company. Right? You don't necessarily do bad things with them, but just being around them slows you down. All right? Just wrong stuff. You know, you have 24 hours in a day. You could use half of it, you know, chit chat, many things. And then you keep going back to say, you know, I don't really still know exactly what God is having me do in my life. And then the time you use to pray, or maybe the time to use in studying God's word. I know that we just use it for very many things. You know, and then we rest, you know, God worked 6 days and rest on the seventh. So there's nothing wrong with resting, but endeavor to have at least done some work, right? But each week you can't just say, I cannot keep myself. I cannot keep myself. I cannot keep myself. And then you keep doing that. And you say, no, this thing is stealing away. Remember what Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 24, a little sleep, you know, sleep, S-L-E-E-P, all right? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and then poverty comes, you know, like an armed man. So the things we need to do, just, you know, so there are things that are just weights. They just weigh you down. They are not sins in themselves. And then there are things. So there are places in the Bible, all right, that way. Even Galatians, all right, chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So you tell yourself, I choose to walk in the Spirit. I choose to walk in the Spirit and I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, and Galatians 5, if you read down from verse 16 to 25, Galatians 5, 16 to 25, it lists what the fruit of the Spirit is. You could say are, but is. And then it lists what the works of the flesh are. So you look at the works of the flesh and, you know, I've taught some time back and said that by the time you look at every work of the flesh, there's a fruit of the Spirit to counter it. So walking in the Spirit is not so that my eyes are closed, I'm praying in tongues, so I can't see anybody, so I'm just walking, taking a walk down the road and I'm praying in the Spirit, so I'm walking in the Spirit. No, guys, all right? You know, yes, that sensitizes you in the things of the Spirit and all, but according to Galatians, all right, it's not prayerfulness that's called walking in the Spirit. According to Galatians 5 now, walking in the Spirit there is walk in love, walk in joy, walk in patience. Peace and all, gentleness and faith, the things that have been listed there, the fruit of the Spirit is. All right? So it begins, all right, by when it tells us about the works of the flesh, he says, you know, adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, all right, mentions witchcraft, you know, mentions idolatry. So you now realize, oh, so for every of these work of the flesh, there's a fruit of the Spirit to counter it, to counter it. So I will walk in the Spirit. I will. So you could find that all through Scripture. Same for health. There are scriptures you could use for health that don't have H-E-A-L-T-H as in health or healing now, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, written in them. For instance, or if Colossians 1 and 27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You could use that as a healing scripture. You could use that for your health. Someone says, how? Christ is in you. Christ is in you. Glory to God. Christ is in you. If Christ is at home in you, then sickness should not be at home. You tell that sickness, Christ is here. Christ is here. Christ is here. All right? Greater is the Christ in me than the sickness that's trying to run around in my body. Great. I mean, you use that. You use that. All right? The fact that, you know, 1 Corinthians and chapter 6, 19 says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You can use that for healing. Oh, they say there's a tumor somewhere in your body. You tell it, no, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the same 1 Corinthians 6 tells you to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Sickness doesn't glorify God in our body. No, it does not glorify God. So you tell it. No, in the name of Jesus, I call you gone. You leave my body. This is not your place. This is not your place. You leave my body because you do not glorify God. You leave. And then you speak to it. You speak to it. You speak to it. You speak to it. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We take authority in the name of Jesus. Yes, agree with me right now as I agree with you. Over every symptom, over every sickness, over every pain, we refuse them in your bodies in the name of Jesus. Any part of your body that has any ailment, any part of your body that seems weak, that seems not to function the way it should, in the name of Jesus, we declare that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. We declare, therefore, that the presence of the Holy Ghost brings healing and brings repair, because the same Holy Ghost that your body houses is the resurrection power. The same Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost. So I speak to every tissue, every nerve in your body. I declare that everything receives strength. I declare receives life. I declare there's strength. Oh, there's strength, there's strength, there's strength in the name of Jesus. There's strength in you. There's strength in you. You are the overcomer. There's strength in you. So we speak to that symptom. We speak to whatever it is that is ailing you. Whatever that ailment is, we call it gone. We tell it that it's defeated in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 So this is us putting our foot down. This is us having faith in the finished work. Not, oh, I know the Bible says I'm healed, but The pain. No, you know, yes, it could be excruciating, but you put your foot down. And you cannot successfully put your foot down if you don't keep reminding yourself of what the word says. It might be painful. All right, you could ask someone to get you, you know, a message on healing, and then you want to listen to it. You could just pick one verse of all the verses we've mentioned already today and just listen. And just listen to that verse. All right? And just read the verse. Like Matthew 8:17, himself took your infirmities. Or you go to the Isaiah version. All right? He took our pains. He took our griefs. You read it again. It might not feel like it's making sense. It might feel like the pain is more real. Because in your body, it will be more real than the word. Oh, but Bible says that the light affliction is but for a moment. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the 17th verse. That this light affliction is for a moment. It's just temporal, guys. That is for a moment, and it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The 18th verse says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but are the things which are not seen. For the things which we see, they are temporal. Oh, that condition is temporal. Be it emotional, be it financial, be it physical. Guys, it is temporal. So we use the word of God to battle these things. You use your faith in the finished work. This is what God has done for me. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, you are the victor. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the word of God. I mean, than he that is in the world, rather. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So let's read Romans 5, right, from the 12th verse, right? We'll just pick it quickly now. Romans 5 from verse 12. It says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. I'm reading, or I'm using the NIV. All right. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there's no law. 14 says, nevertheless, death reigned, all right, from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift, all right, is not like the trespass. Please understand this. There's a gift, there's an offense. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, that one man, of course, you know, is Adam. But for if, rather, the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by grace, all right, of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? So through one man, Adam, were all negatively affected. Through another man, Jesus, were all positively affected. 16 says, nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of a man's sin. Please note that. Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of a man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. I believe it's getting clearer. Through Adam's sin, we were all into condemnation. Through the gift that Jesus brought, he brought us righteousness, justification. 17, for if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more? How much more? All right, will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Christ Jesus? This is beautiful. This is saying death was reigning like king, but we who have now received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we are to reign as kings in life. We are to reign as kings in life. So you and I reign. Hallelujah. 18, and we'll stop at 19. Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. This is beautiful. I'll take 18 again before we enter 19. Consequently, verse 18, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. 19 now. For just as though the disobedience, all right, of the one man, all right, just as through the disobedience of the one man, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, many will be made righteous. Did you get this? Through the disobedience of the one man, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, many will be made righteous. I had to bring this in to add up to what we saw yesterday because, hey, some people feel, oh, I didn't do anything good. I've not done anything good. How could anybody tell me I'm righteous? Yes, I'm born again, but I've not done anything good. The same way, all right, someone does something good, but is still not born again, and then he's a sinner. So he's not just a sinner, right, because he did something bad. He's a sinner because he stems from the effect of Adam's sin. Do you understand that? He stems from it. He stems from the effect of Adam's sin. And then the other person born again just flows also into the righteous act of what Jesus has done. So this is you putting your foot down and say, by faith, I declare that I'm righteous. I don't feel righteous, but by faith, I declare that I'm righteous. And then you use this faith again, all right? You use this revelation again by faith in it to deal with those acts of unrighteousness that even you produce. Right, you find yourself telling lies from time to time, exaggerating the facts very often. And I say, no, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Bible says, lie not to one another. And you keep saying that. All right. And then for maybe a day or two, you don't tell a lie. All right. Yeah, maybe someone accused you, something went wrong, and you still said, I'm going to go through, I'm going to say the truth. All right. Then like 4 days later, you just found yourself telling a lie again. And then exaggerating the fact again and again and again. You caught yourself doing that, and then the next thing you want to do is just beat yourself and say, oh, you're silly me. Oh, stupid me. Oh, whatever, whatever me, you know. But you go again and say, no, I declare that I'm the righteousness of God. I declare that I'm righteous of God. I declare therefore that I act accordingly. I act accordingly. So I says, does it work like that? Yes, this is you using faith to fight. This is you using faith to fight. This is you. All right? Using it, not just a willpower. And then you go through scripture. You read Ephesians chapter 4. Paul told him that stole not to steal anymore. So, and he said, lie not to one another. So I receive this as instructions and revelations. I decide. And then you go to the word. You go to the word. Amen. Use your faith, right, for the things that have been available. Allow me also, I want to read to us, you know, Romans 5, 1 and 2. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you get that? That's a place to put your faith, right? I have been justified through faith. I have peace with God. You know, some people just say, I don't know. I feel God is just mad at me. And they are born again. I feel God is just, come to the word. Come to the word. Come to the word. Please understand this. Come to the word. I don't know. I think God is just mad at me. I feel God is not just happy with me. You know, I just feel I'm a sinner. I can't even pray. All this, the thought of being a sinner is just overwhelming. It will keep being overwhelming if you allow it to keep coming. And please get this. Listen, it's like I have a cup of cola, something cola, maybe Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, something. I have a cup of it, all right? So it's in that cup. It's dark in that cup. You know, the cup would, you know, take the color of it. Or maybe a transparent glass, all right? And then I run it under a tap. Water keeps flowing into it, but the reality of the initial content I have is not denied. But because I allow water flow into it, the water pushes out more of the original content, then what I have left is the water. So you say, oh, but I just have bad character. I feel God can just never be interested in me. I feel God just can never love me. I feel God just can never. You're trying to live with God based on how you feel about how God feels. Isn't that interesting? All right? So you're telling God you know how God is feeling. Did God tell you how he's feeling about you? He did. But the way he did it was in his word. So you go to the word and find out what God says. Yeah, I went to the word. Oh, Bible said that God's hand is not short, that it cannot reach me, but my sin has created a wedge between God and I. That you read rightly in the Bible, but that you did not rightly divide. You read it rightly. All right, you read it rightly in that it is in the Bible, right? But you not rightly read it. Did you get what I'm saying? Is it there? Yes, it's there. But was it talking to you now as a new creature? That verse was pre-Christ. All right, Christ therefore came. God sent Christ. We saw that in 2 Corinthians 5, because we read from verse 17 to verse 21 yesterday, if you remember. So God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So the same God who spoke earlier, all right, through Isaiah and said that, hey, there's a distance in me and you, I cannot get across to you because of your sin. God hasn't just sat in one corner and said, well, do something about it. God did something about it. All right, please just scroll, downwards, all right, under the archives we have here and look for the gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness. We taught that for 5 days, Monday through Friday also. Just listen to it and let it bless you. God has dealt with the wedge issue. All right. Now that you're born again, you are justified through faith. To be justified means to be made righteous. And what does it mean to be righteous? It means you don't have a conscience of sin or of guilt. Now, you don't keep sinning, all right, and say, well, I don't have a conscience of sin. You don't know. That's you now deceiving yourself. Please understand that. That's you deceiving yourself. That's you lying to yourself and say, well, I don't have a conscience of sin. I don't have that God is not, God is not counting your sin against you. Doesn't now, because the more you go into sin and then keep saying, I do not sin or I have no sin. All right. You train yourself to grow callous. You now start becoming insensitive to the wrongs you do. And that's not the training we receive in Christ Jesus. The training we receive is that tenderness of the conscience, the tenderness of your heart that makes you go, oh, Lord, I'm sorry about this. But really, guys, that's why also you might not be quick to condemn people. You might see someone do wrong and might look as if the person doesn't care. Maybe the person is just, you know, having a strong face in front of everybody. The person could walk away from there like, ah, Lord, I messed up again. So you might not even know what's in the person's heart. You might not know. You might not have an idea. All right, but this is me, all right, talking to you and I here. We are the ones here, right? The other person just might not be here. But you could just learn how better to respond to people you just don't know. You are not there. And you're not in their hearts, all right? That's also, it's not right to copy someone's action. You might see the person's action and see, oh, he's tough. Oh, she's tough. Oh, you know, and then you don't know what happens when the person's alone. So Romans 5 and 1 again says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. I declare that I have peace. I have peace with God, all right, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, through whom, watch this, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Through whom? Please understand that. Through whom? Through whom? Please get this. Through whom? Oh, this is beautiful. Are you getting this now? Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. You and I have gained access. You and I have gained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. That means you and I now stand in the grace of Christ. We now stand in it. All right. You and I are recipients of grace and we stand in this grace. You have to put your faith there. Don't just read the Bible and just read. No, you have to mix it with faith. We read that in the first day, all right, on Monday. You have to mix it. Bible says the things preached to us was the same thing preached to them, but it didn't profit them because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. You mix it with faith. I have peace with God and I have access, all right, into the grace of God. I stand in it. Oh, no, God, give me grace. No, I have access. Read the verse. I have access, all right, by faith into this grace in which we now stand. I'm standing in the grace of God. Oh, God's grace is sufficient. You talk like that. Don't talk like a victim. You are not a victim. Don't talk like a victim. Talk like a victor, all right? Talk like a victor. Glory to God. Glory to God. I believe this blessed you today. So put your foot down that you are the righteousness of God and use that fact of righteousness, that reality of righteousness. Fight whatever is not right, all right, around you, all right? Fight the condemnation, fight the thoughts of sin, fight the sin actions themselves and say, no, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Fight sickness with by his stripes I'm healed. That my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, I glorify God. No sickness in me glorifies God. Sickness doesn't glorify God. Jesus came to deal with sin, so it doesn't glorify God. Then use it again to declare, I'm righteous. Use it again to say, I have peace with God. Use it again to declare, I stand by faith. Glory to God in this grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe this has blessed you. Use your faith, guys. Use it. Let's put our foot down and be aggressive about it. Don't forget, faith comes by hearing. So keep hearing and keep using your faith. Have a very, very, very great, great day. Share this with people. Let them also get blessed. Just hit the share button, all right, and just send to a number of your WhatsApp contacts and tell, hey, listen to this. It will bless you. All right. Glory to God. See you tomorrow. Yeah. Bye.